More news now, and earlier today I spoke to science journalist Mark Peplow about some rather strange goings-on in Siberia.
More than 100 years ago, back in 1908, a huge blast ripped open the sky in a region of Siberia called Tunguska. It flattened more than 2,000 square kilometres of forest all around. Eyewitnesses said that they saw this huge object tearing through the atmosphere and then exploding, as it turned out, probably a few kilometres above the ground. It's estimated that this explosion was the equivalent of about 3 to 5 megatons of TNT. That's five times more powerful than the biggest US nuclear weapon. Obviously, the leading theory for this is that something came from space, a chunk of an asteroid or perhaps a comet, and broke up on entry. But the trouble is, scientists have never actually found any residues. There's like no fragments been recovered, despite the fact that there have been many scientific expeditions. And that's left the way open for lots of speculation about other possible causes: antimatter, black holes, aliens, all sorts of things. I think it's even featured in an episode of The X-Files. What's happened now is that a group led by a Ukrainian scientist called Viktor Kvasnitsia has identified very small fragments of rock, less than a millimetre wide each, that look very much like they came from a meteor. They're in the right sort of layers of peat, which would date them at exactly the right time that explosion happened. These look like our strongest candidates ever of rock from that explosion.
I actually gave this a bit of a Google before we had a chat, and there are pictures on there of thousands and thousands of trees just sort of lying down on their sides. Because it's such a massive collision, why haven't we found a large lump of rocks? Why are we only finding these tiny fragments?
Well, that's the thing. What happens if you had something coming from space that was basically an iron-based asteroid? Then it would be dense enough to survive this fall through the Earth's atmosphere, and you would expect to find large chunks, actually, of iron strewn around the region. You'd also expect to see a massive crater, like the huge crater in Arizona, for example. What scientists think with the Tunguska event was that it was a more fragile body, basically. It wasn't as dense, it wasn't as strong, and that's why it broke up. And when it broke up in this huge explosion, it just would have almost vaporized all of the material into tiny, tiny fragments. Now, previous expeditions have found hundreds of what they call black magnetic spherules, tiny balls of material, basically, in soil, but they've never really been unequivocally proved to be part of the Tunguska meteor. These fragments, in contrast, because they're bigger, you can get an awful lot more information out of them. They've got a form of carbon in them called Lonsdaleite, and that's got a crystal structure that's sort of halfway between graphite and diamond. Only forms under extreme heat and pressure, and you do often find it in meteorites. They've also found minerals, iron-based minerals, one of them an iron-nickel alloy, that's sort of veined through the carbon, and it's in a proportions and a composition that's very, very similar to that of other iron-rich meteorites.
Is this comprehensive, though? Are all asteroids the same? Is there a certain signature that we can say that definitely comes from a meteor?
Well, there's one thing that doesn't fit, which is why there's still going to be debate about this. Almost all meteorites tend to have very high levels of quite rare metals called iridium and osmium, which on the Earth all tend to be deep below the Earth's crust, so you don't find much of it on the surface. So where you find sort of high concentrations of it, very often they have come from objects from space. These samples have got levels of iridium and osmium that are sort of halfway between what you'd expect to find in terrestrial rocks and what you'd expect to find in space rocks. So there's some uncertainty about that. The team are now going back to do further isotope tests to try and determine their extraterrestrial origin.
But until that happens, I suppose the conspiracies will continue.
They're so much fun, so I'm sure they will.
Mark Peplow, thank you very much to him for joining us.